Luke chapter 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. It's a wonderful passage. It's a passage about Peter's conversion. And Jesus Christ was beginning to preach this part of his ministry. And he came humbly and started to teach. And no one had ever heard words like Jesus Christ taught, because they were the Word of God. It was the truth that everyone longed to hear, that was setting people free. And people were pressing in to hear this Word. It was so wonderful, as the Word of God always is when it's really preached in the Spirit. It was a wonderful Word. People were pressing in to hear. And at the same time, the crowd got so big that Jesus didn't want to cause a riot. So he saw these men finishing up their fishing, cleaning their nets, and he got in their boat. And they let him use the boat. He just pushed out a bit. And when he was in the boat, the shore became a natural amphitheater. I've seen this place where he taught in Israel. And so the word could be heard. And he preached and he taught. And when he finished, you know, Jesus, no man's debtor. Peter lent him the boat when Jesus said, "I would need your boat." If you lend anything to Jesus, if you give anything to Jesus, I want to tell you, he is no man's debtor. He will always reward you with abundance. And so he gave him his boat. He caught nothing all night in the natural. But when he gave his boat to Jesus, Jesus in the end said, "Let down your nets on the other side." And he caught an abundance. So Jesus is no man's debtor. But Jesus came to him. And they'd been fishing all night. And these men were professional fishermen. And they caught nothing in the natural. But Jesus then spoke to them. This Jesus had been teaching. People were astounded at his teaching. And then the Son of God gave him a command, which was actually illogical. They'd fished all night. They were professionals. But he just said to them, "Now take your nets, your fishing nets, launch them into the other side of the boat, set out a bit from shore." And Peter goes, "But we've toiled all night. We fished all night." He said, "Launch out to the deep." Peter said, "Nevertheless, even though we fished all night, at your word, I will set down the net. I'll obey it. I'll do it. Even though it's illogical, but because it's your word, I'll do it." There's so much power in obeying and doing the word Jesus tells you that you don't really understand. When your natural man says, "I've got every right to hold a grudge against that person," Jesus' word said, "Forgive them." When your parents may have mistreated you, you had every right to harbor hardness of heart, God's word says, "Honor your parents." There is so much power in obeying the word that you cannot comprehend with a natural mind. If you only understood what happened when they obeyed the word that they did not understand, the creative power of God's word created something that was not there. Those fish were never there, but Jesus spoke just as the same word that was spoken in creation, and those fish were immediately created by the power of his word. When you obey the word that you can't fully understand, opportunities are created. New life in your marriage is created. Jobs that you can't even understand are created. Healing is created in your body just through obeying the word that you don't fully comprehend. Oh, there's revelation right there. If you only understood the power in obeying the word of Jesus, particularly when you can't comprehend it. His word is creative and it is powerful. And all of a sudden they had fish that did not even exist before they obeyed his word. Things that weren't even there were there through obeying his word. And when this happened, when Peter saw, there's no fish in that sea, but when I obeyed your word, I caught a net full. Peter, I believe in the Spirit, he had a revelation. The same power that was in creation when Jesus spoke things into being was in this man, Jesus Christ. And he fell at his feet, realizing he was in the presence of something, or he may not have fully comprehended, but he was in the presence of divinity. And he fell at his feet and said, this Jesus been so good to me. And he had a revelation. He said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. That's how someone is converted. Is we have a revelation of the greatness in Jesus Christ through the cross, that he would lay down his life for me. The one who can be, do all, be all, can make all, doesn't need anything, but he comes from heaven, he lays down his life for me. And in that moment I have a revelation of my unworthiness. And his power, and his greatness, and his unlimitedness, and his goodness to me. That's how someone is converted. And Peter at that moment is converted. He's fully converted. Because he has a revelation that Jesus Christ is divine, that he is good, that he comes to bring goodness and blessing to our lives. And that's what we see in this cross here, that he comes to bring not only his forgiveness, but his power to our lives. And then, this passage is called the calling of Peter. And see, Jesus calls us to follow him. Everyone who's converted has been called. The Bible says many are called, few are chosen. But he calls us. And Jesus said, my sheep hear his voice. It's not an audible voice, it's a spiritual voice. But we hear it in our hearts. And we understand things that other people can't understand. Other people in the world think it's a foolishness. But somehow we understand who Jesus Christ is. We understand how great he is, how wonderful he is, how loving he is, how good he is. And the world may not understand. That's because he is the good shepherd is calling you. He doesn't call everybody, but he calls you. And the Bible says his sheep hear his voice. And even today, someone here is going to be called in the Spirit to follow Jesus. You've never followed him before. But God is saying to me, someone here is going to be a follower of Jesus for the first time. And I want to tell you that the call of Jesus Christ, when it comes, he calls us into our purpose. And Peter is a fisher. I love this. He's a fisher. He's a natural fisher. And Jesus comes and calls him and says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Nothing in your background is wasted. Whatever you're doing and whatever, there's no distinction. This is what religious people do. That was my pre-conversion. This is my now Christian life. Whatever you're doing before you are called, that's got a lot to do with what he's called you for. The thing is, what you were doing, he takes and he uses in a new dimension. I'm amazed. I used to be a trader and I used to be a soldier. Now, trading, if you work in the financial markets, it's all about risk taking. You just take risks every day. You gamble with other people's capital. And then as a soldier, you study war and you do battle. Now, my whole ministry is about taking risks, but with God, with God's capital, and fighting battles in the power of the Holy Spirit. I am just amazing. What I learned in the natural, I'm now using in the spiritual, just in a new dimension. God is very, very purposeful. God is, he's into purpose and he's into design. And he made you for a purpose and he wants to use you. And your past is very much connected to your future. God will just use it in a different dimension. So he comes and calls us with a purpose. And he also, the call of God, I want to tell you, the call of God is disruptive. These guys had a fishing business. They had something going. It was good. It was successful. They knew how to do it. And Jesus came along and he says, no longer you're going to do that. You're going to follow me. And it disrupted everything. It disrupted everything. Jesus, when he calls you, he is going to disrupt your life. He is going to disrupt relationships. He's going to disrupt your family. He says, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. He's going to disrupt your world. He's going to shake your world up when you become a follower of him. And there's going to be a cost when he comes to call you. Jesus once called another fella. And the guy says, I get it. I'm after you, Jesus. I'll come. He's in the natural, not in the spirit. He goes, I'll follow you. And then Jesus said, oh, by the way, foxes have holes. Birds of the air has nests. But the Son of Man, I got no place to lay my head tonight. And the guy goes, oh, I just got something else to do. It's disruptive and it'll cost you. But it is all about, he is a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. He says, I lead my sheep in Psalm 23. I need you to green pastures. If we would understand and we would know and follow him truly, he says, a number of things would happen. He says, lead my sheep to green pastures. When we follow Jesus properly, he will take us to places that we cannot get to in our life naturally, just through following. In John 8, he also said, he who follows me will never abide in darkness but have the light of life. It means the power of oppression and whatever, it may visit you, but you will not abide in it. If we follow him properly, his presence is continually in our lives and it destroys that stuff. It destroys it, continually brings deliverance if we follow him, if we know what it is to truly follow him. And he says, and he comes and says, follow me, follow me. And if we will do the following, you know what happens? If we will do the following, he does the changing. It's our job to follow, and it's his job to change us. And he changes us as we follow. Peter was not a fisher of men, but he became a fisher of men. And when he called Peter, I want to show you something. Peter was there. And in this passage it says that when they brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. But in the same description, Matthew uses just some language I just want you to see because it's important. It said, when Jesus called them, said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, it says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. And then it says in verse 22, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, it's really important. When Jesus called them, They had nets and they had a boat. That was their business. And when Jesus called them, when they heard his call, this glorious call to follow me and I'll make you. Oh, the prodigal son, when he was in the house of the father, all he said is, give me, give me, give me. But when he came back, he said, make me like one of your servants. God wants to make you into something. God wants to make you into something glorious for his purpose. He has a plan to change you and to forge you into something that is so great in heaven. Make you into something. But before he could make them, he called them and said, I'm going to make you into fishers of men. And they dropped these nets. They dropped the nets and they dropped the boat. Before you can come into your purpose, before you can really get where God wants you to get, you're going to have to drop something. There's always a dropping of something when Jesus calls you. And if you have never, ever dropped anything for him, I doubt you're converted. He'll always call you. He'll always call you. You may just have been in a religious or a Christian house your whole life, grown up in a Christian family. You may have never dropped anything for him. But he's going to call you. He's going to get you to drop relationships. He's going to care you to drop that bottle, that drug thing. He's going to get. There are things he's going to call you to drop and to walk away from and to give up, to get into the call of God, to get in the place where he wants to lead you. You're going to have to drop those nets. And those nets are also, they're things that are to do with our security and our comfort. Someone once said to me, I think it might have been Beck years ago, said, I have this thing called a what-if rope. I trust God. I want to walk with God. But I've got this thing back here called a what if rope. It's my comfort that if God fails me, I go back to that thing for comfort. But it's a costly comfort. And Jesus, when he calls us, he calls us out of trusting in that thing of comfort. He calls us to drop the things that we know are not of him, the relationships, the things that we can't go forward with him. And the one thing he does always want you to drop is your own agenda. That must be dropped. We must pick up his agenda. And so he comes and Peter drops everything, abandons the boat, hears the call, and he is off. And it is a heartfelt conversion. He has revelation of who Jesus is. He has revelation of his greatness and his goodness. And he falls on his ground and says, I'm a sinful man. Jesus says, now, I've got a purpose for you, because it's not just salvation. There is purpose in your salvation. There is kingdom purpose in your salvation. When you discover the purpose, you get the satisfaction. He didn't call you to sit in a chair and give money to the church every Sunday. He's got a plan and a purpose for everyone. It's not to be a missionary to the world, but he has a great plan that is, it is for your shape. Destiny and purpose is what he's into. And Peter, he said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And to get into that purpose, he had to drop the nets. And he dropped them. And it was a heartfelt conversion, but I want to show you something. He dropped them. And it was a wonderful dropping. It was a forsaking of all. And if the word of God is really real, the prophetic word of God comes to you, it'll never fail. Peter did become a fisher of men, a great fisher of men. But I want to tell you, it was a process, not a. Sometimes people's conversion is wonderful, it's just an event. But many, many times it's a process, not an event. With Peter, you see, a little while later, here is Peter who is called and makes it. Peter is a rash man. He's a passionate man, somebody that God loves. He has a heart for those people. Peter's the one that got out of the boat when everyone else stood in the boat and did the sensible, the reasonable thing. Peter got out of that boat. He was like that. But when Peter made this confession and he dropped everything, a little while later, we meet Peter, who's dropped the nets, but he picks them back up again. He picks that thing that God told him to drop back up again. Have you ever picked up that thing again? Yeah. Come on. Come on. Some people never do. They drop it and it's done. But many other people, they go back at thing. They pick that thing back up again. But if God's word is of your life, you've really heard God speak to you, he'll bring you through. And this is a testimony to the gracious, unfailing goodness and also unfailing power of Jesus and his word. Peter picks those nets back up that he said he'd forsake. And what is amazing is that in his grace and his mercy, Jesus continues to preach from the boat he commanded Peter to forsake. And on that boat, the nets are right at his feet. Jesus still storms from the boat that he commanded Peter to leave with the nets that are still at his feet. That Jesus still ministers with Peter. He still is calling him forward, even though he's still got his nets, even though he's still got his boat. Preachers command storms to be stilled. But all the time he's calling Peter forward into a new dimension. Forward into his purpose. God calls you forward, never backwards. And sometimes we think what's going to bring us into that place of complete victory, the place of destiny and purpose, and we're right in the flow, that we're doing what we're called to do. We think it's going to be some sort of great spiritual experience. But I want to tell you, spiritual experiences are great, but all they do is move you forward. All they do is just move you on a little bit. Peter had great spiritual experience. He saw Jesus as still storms. And he went on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw the glory of God in Jesus Christ. He saw it. But it didn't get him into his destiny. It didn't get him to that place where he really was walking as a fisher of men, when he was really fulfilling the thing, the destiny, the exact call of God on his life. Do you know what got him there? If you go to John chapter 20, I want to tell you what got him there. Here's Peter. You can, I might read it. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana, the sons of Zebedee, and two others and his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you." They went out and immediately got in the boat. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, dragging the net with fish. As soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Lord, who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the fish, the bread, gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time he showed himself since he was raised from the dead. What happened here in this place? Jesus called Peter. He continued to use Peter, even though he wasn't perfect. Even though Peter was still carrying around those nets. He was still carrying around that what-if rope. He was still hadn't dropped that thing completely that Jesus told him to drop. He was only partially walking in the goodness. You know, in the end, I want to tell you how good this is. I just got this. When God calls you, whoever you are, he calls you to greatness. It may not be greatness in the world, but in the kingdom of heaven, there is no one he calls with an ordinary call. It's a great call. You know, when Peter finally got it, when Peter finally dropped his nets and followed and became a fisherman of men, God made him so great through perfect obedience that today cities are named after him. This is a fisherman. St. Petersburg is named after this fisherman who struggled but was faithful in the end of the call. God has plans for you. It's all great. He has great plans for his people. He wants to give you not a life. He said, "I came to give you an abundant life." That is a great life. Not always easy. Peter died upside down on a cross, but he was considered great before God. God wants us all in our own dimension, in our own area, to be great witnesses, to be seen as greatly effective for the kingdom of heaven. What brought him into that place where he became a world beater and a hell shaker? What brought him into that place where he fulfilled the purpose, where he found the satisfaction, where he got to those green pastures? I tell you what happened. God brought Peter to a very low place. And he allowed him to experience a failure that really broke him. And Jesus Christ, the end of his life, was crucified as a criminal. And Peter, who'd walked with Jesus, who'd seen the miracles, seen the lepers cleansed, seen the bread multiplied, seen Jesus do what no man had ever do, seen the very glory of God manifest through him on a mountain, saw it all, saw Jesus speak to storms and still them, hurricanes with a word, saw the power, saw the love, how he would touch the untouchable, the lepers who came to him, and he'd risk his own health and he'd heal them. He saw all the nature of God in Jesus Christ. And then he said, the rest of them, when you're crucified, they'll leave you, but I'll never leave you. I know who you are. I have revelation. I got revelation that you are the Son of God and I'll never leave you. And then when Jesus has his worst hour, he's betrayed and he's taken and he's brought to trial and he's flogged and he's at his weakest and he looks across the courtyard for support and his eyes catch Peter. And Peter says, I don't know him. Never met him. And he fails him in a way that is haunting. He fails in a way which is complete. And he's in a place of failure and frustration. And often when we fail like that, Peter says, I am who I am. Who's kidding who? I'm not a fisher of men, I'm a fisherman. I'm just who I am. And he's in place of defeat. And he goes back to fishing, which is like going back to his base nature. He's going, who am I kidding? I'm just going back to a natural life. I'm going back to the poker machine. I'm going back to the pub. I'm going back to that thing that brings me comfort. I'm going to put the short skirt down again. I'm just going to go back to my base nature. And again, in his great grace and his mercy and his love, the one who never gives up on us, Jesus who never ever gives up on us, whose word can never ever fail, even though Peter has failed him completely, Jesus comes to him. And I want to know in this passage, he never mentions his failure. He comes in grace to restore him. He comes to Peter. The time. It's amazing. It's like, I find it amazing. Jesus is on the shore. He's eating a fillet of fish. He's eating a fish with a sandwich. That's what all Peter's life's about. It's like saying, I got everything you really desire. It's in my hand. Everything you really desire. And when you've gone back to your base nature, when you've gone back to doing that thing, it says Peter caught nothing. He caught nothing. He caught nothing, because when you're in that place, God brings you to a place of absolute failure. He shuts every door when you're really called. I remember there was a time I was struggling with a call of God on my life in 2000. My wife will tell you, 2001. I said, I don't know if I'm really called to this. I don't know if I'm really going to move forward with God. And we were offered a job in America. God shut the door, and I came back here, and I said, I got to make provision for my family. And I tried to get a job cleaning the toilets in North Sydney School. And they said, we don't want you. I tried to get a job selling books at a store called Borders. They said, we don't want you. And everything I tried failed until God brought me into the purpose that he had for my life. He comes this time. And Peter has failed. Peter is frustrated. It's like Jesus stands on the shore and says, how's backsliding working for you? How's it going back there? And of course, there's nothing. There is nothing there but frustration. There is nothing there but failure. And he's in it all. But at that moment, he comes to you in a new visitation, a new moment of grace and mercy and goodness and love. To say, I've got provision for your life. You can't get for yourself. And he says, cast a net on the other side. They don't know it's Jesus. So he says, cast a net on the other side. And they cast a net on the other side. Same thing happens in Luke 5. The same thing happens. They get 167 fish. Fish are created at the word of God where there was no fish. Power of his word. And this time Peter realizes, because he's grown, he realizes again, he has a fresh revelation of the greatness of Jesus Christ. And in the process, God has brought him into a place. It's important you see this. The others, they take care of the boat and they bring the boat and they look after the nets and they come to shore. But at this time, Peter has a revelation so great, a fresh revelation, the glory, the majesty, the goodness, the purpose, the plan of Jesus' life. His faith has grown and he leaps out of that boat. He leaps out of that boat. He goes into the water, putting the boat behind, and he just goes for Jesus. And there's never ever, for the rest of the Bible, there's never ever a mention of the nets. There's never ever a mention of Jesus, of the boat. There's never. Peter has forgotten. He's finally gone after Jesus full on. Everything is left behind. Jesus is all in all. Jesus is what he's going to live for. He's going to die for. And he leaps. God is saying to somebody today, leap. Leave that thing behind. Just leave it go, because I've got a great plan. And you'll never, you know, you can't get to where God's taken you with your nets and Jesus. You got the nets and you got Jesus. You can't get there. But somebody today, he's saying, abandon all. This is a season. This is a season where God is actually saying to people two things. This is a season. See, he came back. He called. Then he came again. You're still going to the hotel, doing that thing. Brings you comfort. Still playing that poker machine, doing that thing, which you know you shouldn't do. I tell you what, there's a season changing happening here where it's time for destiny, it's time for purpose, it's time to be a fisher of men, it's time to bring in the harvest, and there people God is using, you know, he's going to use those who will drop what he's been telling them to drop for a long time, and he's going to use those who will make the leap. Jesus is everything. He's who I live for. He's who I die for. He's who I'll run for. And you know what? When Peter, he finally abandoned that boat. He finally abandoned those nets. When he leaped, all hell trembled. All the demons in hell trembled. Because when a man leaves all, forsakes all, and goes just after Jesus, he cannot be stopped. He leaped and hell trembled. He leaped into a new dimension. He leaped out of the natural dimension into the new dimension. When you forsake all for Jesus, and a little while later you find what transformed him, transforms all of us from a natural man, a natural fisher, to a fisher of men. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as soon as that happened, his mouth became his net. 3,000 people. No more boat, no more nets. 3,000 people. One for Jesus on a single day. Maybe many days. God is bringing his church now into a dimension. Doors are opening. Opportunities, purpose, fulfillment, destiny is on the menu of God. What's he saying? How are you going to get there? How's that word of God going to be fulfilled over your life? He said, I'll make you fruitful. He said, I've got a plan and a purpose for your life. He said, I didn't want to live. You're not supposed to live in misery. I've promised you eternal peace and joy. I've promised you fruitfulness. I've promised you victory even in the midst of the battle. I've promised satisfy your mouth with good things. I've promised you deliverance. I've promised you healing. I'm a good shepherd. I promise to lead my sheep. None of my sheep are supposed to go nowhere. They're people of purpose and destiny. I promise to lead them to green pastures. Are you in the green pastures? I want to ask you really, are you in the green pastures? Can you say, even in the midst of a difficult life, my life is wonderful, even when the times are hard, because I've got Jesus, his presence in my life is all that I need, it's all that I want. Everything else is a distraction. He's my everything. Are you in that place? I want to tell you, it's the best place a human being can be in. It's where Adam lived in. It's back to Eden. It's a place of authority. It's a place of power with God. It's a place of victory. But there's only one way you can get there. Firstly, you got to drop your nets. You got to drop that. You got to put that thing down. You cannot have Jesus and the net. And you got to make the leap. Some of us here today, God is actually calling us just to do one thing, because we're at a different places with him. Some of us, there's three things actually God wants to do today. And I want to finish. I want to finish now, because the Spirit of God wants to do things. He really wants to do things. He wants to do three things. Will we bow our heads? Will we bow our heads? He has a great plan. He is a wonderful Jesus. Peter had the revelation of how wonderful Jesus was, how powerful he was, that he has a creative power to bring those fish that were not there into our lives just by obeying his word. And he realized that he was a sinner. And Jesus has a revelation for you today. He is the power of God unto salvation. It's in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. You don't deserve it, but he did to forgive your sin. He's that good. And when you obey him, he creates things in your world that aren't there. Aren't there today? Like he created those fish for people. They're not there. And he has a plan. He wants you to know he is a good Jesus. He loves humanity. He died for us. But he doesn't want to just give us a ticket to heaven. He wants to take us somewhere. Somewhere good. Somewhere rich. Not just a life, but abundant life. Where doors open. Where you're used by him. Where you see things that other people don't see. But he says, to have that, you've actually got to become my follower. Some people receive me as a savior, but they're never really prepared to drop something and follow me. So people here today, you know you've never dropped anything, or you never dropped that thing, become a real follower. Jesus is saying today, I want you to drop it. I'll help you. I'll help you. Even if you can't let it go at first, I'll help you. I'll bring you to the place of deliverance. But you've got to make the choice with your heart. You want to drop that thing and become my follower today. If that's you, he's calling you. There's a call of God in the Holy Spirit and someone here today to become a true follower. If that's you, I want you to raise your hands to heaven today and give him praise. Give him praise because he's a God of heaven who calls his sheep. He leads you to green pastures. He's calling someone here today and he just wants you to respond. Lift your hand to heaven. Lift your hand to him. Say today, I'll follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. Somebody else here today that God wants you to drop that thing. Keep your head bowed. You know you've got to drop that thing, but you've struggled with it and it's stopping you. You know it's stopping you. That's that thing that brings you comfort. It's that thing you go back to when life gets hard. And he says, there's a time where I come and my grace becomes sufficient and the deliverance happens and that thing loses its power. And you're able to make that leap. And he says, I want you to drop it now. If you're ready to drop that thing for Jesus today, I just know there's a grace here. There's a grace here for victory that's never been here before. And if you want that victory today, I want you to raise your hands to Jesus because he's got a victory. There's a visitation here to bring God's people through. Thank you, Jesus. And there's somebody else here. There are other people here that he wants you. He's calling you to go all out. All out. Live and die. Burn that bridge. Someone once said to me, Pastor, you've left your denomination. They'll never take you back. Don't burn your bridges. And just out of my mouth, I said to the guy, those bridges are charcoal. I never regretted it. Because the place where you've got to go on with just you and Jesus. Just you and him alone. God is calling somebody. I want us to sing today. I want us to sing this song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I want you to reflect as we sing this song. Am I following? Am I following as he calls me to follow? Am I following in the way that brings victory? Is there something I need to let go? Need to let go. I want to make a commitment to follow him. I'm not going to lay hands on anyone today, but if you feel the Holy Spirit is bringing you to a place, I know there is a grace here in this house today. See, there's a time. There's a time to hear the call. There's a time where we might struggle. But his word will never fail. There is a time for victory. There is a time for victory where you no longer struggle because the grace comes for the victory and it's here now. God is bringing it to his church now because these are the end times. It's the time for harvest. It's the time to bring in fish. It's time to catch fish. If you just believe, God will give you that grace for complete victory. I mean, Peter had complete victory from this time forward. As we sing this song, I want you to come forward. You should be able to sing.